Welcome, welcome. Thank you for being here as we share together from the Word of God. Open your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 10. We're going to take a look at verse 17 in just a few moments. This evening's service at 6 p.m., Brother George Lukes will be preaching to us. So come and share in that message and enjoy hearing George as he leads us in our minds in our worship service tonight. And 3 weeks from today, our young men will be leading our service. We look forward to that. Twice a year, we have a young men's led service. We look forward to that 3 weeks from today, coming right up. This morning, I'd like to share with you a lesson based on the story of the rich young ruler we'll talk about in just a few moments, Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 31. A few weeks ago, Senator John McCain passed away. No matter what you think of him politically, most of us respected him for his endurance during his captivity during the Vietnam War. He was the son of a high naval officer, and when the North Vietnamese realized the political prize that they had won in capturing him, the treatment became horrid. Of course, first they were looking for military information. What military secrets could they get out of John McCain? And then they tried to just torture him, hoping he would break down and he could have a confession and therefore be used for political purposes during the Vietnam War. His torturers wanted to get him to a breaking point, a point that he would renounce his work in the war, renounce his U.S. citizenship, renounce his homeland. He never got to that point. He offered only minimal cooperation with his captors. McCain spent 2 years in solitary confinement. He was tortured many times. He had little food, little water, little medical attention, and far less human dignity. He is honored as a man who suffered, but he would not get to that breaking point when he would renounce his convictions. And may we have the same attitude when we resist Satan. See, our faith has a breaking point as well. A point when we may give up seeking God. As Christians, we don't want to reach that breaking point, do we? We want to stay loyal to our commitments to Jesus. Let's tell Satan that we're going to tell him to bug off and we're going to stay straight with Jesus. John McCain said it this way as he reflected on his years of imprisonment. The best thing for me was to choose an attitude of defiance, and an attitude that they would be unable to break my spirit and will. Brothers and sisters, isn't that the same attitude we want to have against Satan? Satan, no matter what you throw at me, I'm going to be true to you. I'm going to be true to Jesus Christ. I'm going to stand my ground in Him. I'm not going to reach that breaking point. Now, Satan is smart. He knows our weaknesses. He knows when and where to attack our faith. And my task is to be prepared for those attacks and to resist him. As Stephen read in the scripture this morning from James chapter 4, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Satan whispers, and you know every man has his price. Remind him that you are not for sale. The reading from Mark chapter 10, the story of the rich young ruler. Verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one's good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, I have kept all of these since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it's impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Peter said, "Lord, we've left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in the present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." Mark's gospel calls him a rich man. Matthew calls him a young man. Luke's gospel calls him a ruler. And we string all that together, and we usually call this man the rich young ruler. Let's learn a little bit about him. He recognized the goodness of Jesus, and he recognized the spiritual authority of Jesus. He addressed Jesus as good teacher. He recognized the inherent goodness within Christ. He recognized Christ's spiritual authority by calling him teacher. To be called teacher in the first century Jewish world was a great honor. It was, he said, "You are rabbi." And there are lots of people in our world who will recognize the goodness and to some degree the spiritual authority of Jesus. Lots of folks will say, "Oh, Jesus was a great teacher. He was a good man. He was a good example. He was a godly man." And they will say, "Oh, he was a wonderful teacher." But that puts him on a human level. Jesus, you see, is more than just a good teacher. Jesus is more than just a good man. He is the Son of the living God. The rich young ruler started with something good. "Jesus, you're a good teacher." But it must go more than that, because Jesus is more than just a good teacher. This rich young ruler also had a sincere interest in spiritual things. He asked the Lord, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" This rich young man was interested in spiritual things. Have you noticed not everybody who is rich is interested in spiritual things? Have you noticed that everyone who is young is not interested in spiritual things? Have you noticed that everyone who is powerful is not interested in spiritual things? This rich young ruler was interested in spiritual things. That's a good thing. But you know what? Our hearts need to have more than a spiritual emphasis. They need to have more than just an interest in spiritual things. You see, I have an interest in food. I like potato chips. I like cake. I like pretzels. I like pie. But you know what? Those things do not nourish me. I like them, but they don't nourish me. And there are many people who have a hankering, a spiritual hankering, if you will, but they're going after spiritual junk food, like I'd go after junk food of food. You've got to feed on the bread of life, and that is Jesus Christ. This rich young ruler had a spiritual interest. He was interested in eternal life. He asked the good question, "What must I do to eternal life for it to be mine?" But he wasn't ready to go for the nutritious answer. Thirdly, this guy was a good man. This rich young ruler was a good man. Jesus said, "Keep the commandments." And which ones? Well, all of them. "I've kept these since I was a boy." The rich young ruler was a good man. He was a commandment keeper. He followed the Old Testament law. When I was growing up, my dad was not a Christian. But he was a good moral man. He didn't drink. He didn't smoke. I could count the cuss words I heard from his mouth on my fingers and not even have to go to my toes. And he was a one-man woman. He wasn't a womanizer. He just loved my mom. He was a good moral man. But he wasn't a Christian. Thankfully, he eventually did become a Christian. But here's what I'm saying. The rich young ruler had the good moral character of keeping the law. He kept those 10 commandments. He was religious about it, if I can say it that way. This rich young ruler had a lot going for him. He recognized the goodness and the spiritual authority of Jesus. He had a sincere interest in spiritual things. And he was a commandment keeper. He kept the old covenant law. So why didn't Jesus say, "Hey, rich young ruler, come over here. I've got a contract for you. I'd like you to be one of my 12 apostles. Would you sign here on the dotted line?" Peter's having a rough day, and John, well, his mind is just out to lunch, and James, you never can count on him, but you look like you must be a pretty good sizable fella. You must have a lot on the ball. Would you sign up here to be my apostle? Did you notice Jesus never said that? What did Jesus do? Jesus knew that that man had a breaking point. He had a weakness. He had at some point in his life something that was more important to him than the spiritual questions he was asking Jesus. So in verse 21, Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, "One thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven. And then come follow me." And Jesus knew this rich young ruler had to make a choice between his wealth and his Lord. Notice that Jesus didn't require all apostles to do what he required of this man. He didn't require all disciples to do what he required of this man. Go sell everything, give to the poor, and come follow me. But Jesus knew that this man had a breaking point, a weakness that needed to be addressed. And this man could not follow Jesus until that weakness was addressed. Jesus himself said, "No one can serve two masters. You either hate one, love the other. He'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money," or mammon, if you like King James Version. Jesus is clear. You can't have it both ways. Jesus recognized that this man, this rich young man, had a lot going for him, but there was something in the way. There was a breaking point to faith. And that breaking point was his wealth. Notice verse 22. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And Jesus looked at him and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." How horrible to come to Jesus and have all these things going for you, as this rich young man did. And yet, when Jesus says, "On lay it on the line, you've got to choose money or you've got to choose me, one or the other," this man went away sad because he wouldn't pay the price. Brothers and sisters and friends, know you this. When Jesus calls you and you refuse his call, you always go away sad. There's no joy in refusing Jesus. There's no joy in saying no to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we try to please ourselves in lieu of pleasing the Lord, we go away sad. The lesson time for the apostles, verse 24 and 25. Jesus comments on this young man's decision to not accept discipleship and says to his apostles, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Now, there's been a lot of discussion on this camel and needle thing. And I know that some folks say, well, there's a gate in Jerusalem that later was called the camel's gate because it was so low that camels would have to get down on their knees to crawl through. That may or may not be what Jesus is referring to. I don't know. I suspect, though, when Jesus talked about, you know, it's easier for a rich man to go to heaven than a camel go through the eye of the needle, I got a feeling a lot of people got a grin on their face and remembered that statement, don't you? I think that's what Jesus is saying. It's nigh to impossible. Not totally impossible, but it's nigh to impossible because it's impossible for man. It's not impossible for God. Now, some of you have heard my hilarious comment on this earlier. When I was in college and we were talking about this verse, one of my professors said, "You know, I know how to get a camel through the eye of a needle." And if you've not heard this, you can laugh. And if you have heard it, you can laugh again. And here's how you do it. You back that sucker up, you know, number many hundreds of feet, and you get that camel going 192,000 miles per second. And according to Einstein, his mass will reduce to zero, and he'll slip right through that needle. Now, that's the hard part, is the 192,000 miles per second. That's the hard part. Camels have a top speed of about 10 miles an hour, just in case you're wondering. The lesson is the breaking point of this rich young man was his wealth. He wouldn't do what Jesus told him to do. And Jesus said, "You got to follow me. You've got to lay it on the line. You've got to choose me or your wealth. You can't have both." And the man went away sad because there's no joy in refusing Jesus. The question is, what is our breaking point? What matters us more than the Lord? At what point do we say no to Jesus Christ? At what point do we decide that discipleship is no longer worth the journey? What matters to us more than our relationship with Jesus Christ? What causes us to sadly leave Jesus? Luke chapter 14, Jesus said it this way, "If anyone will come after me and not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Now we need to remember hate here means love less. It doesn't mean you have to literally hate your family. But what Jesus is saying is, to be my disciple, you've got to realize your loyalty to Christ comes before the loyalty to your family. There was a nice young couple that was converted to Christ in the first ministry that I worked with in Oregon. Wonderful family, strong family ties, but there was an issue. The issue is they valued their family more than they valued their Lord. And the sad thing is, eventually the husband and wife split up and the kids are doing who knows what right now. Because they didn't put first things first. They didn't put the Lord first. Family is important, amen? But it's not the most important. Jesus is saying, you can't put it before family. You can't put family before me. We might ask ourselves, what relationship do we put before Jesus? What possession do we put before Jesus? What job do we put before Jesus? What comfort do we put before Jesus? What is our breaking point for our faith in Jesus Christ? What is our idol? What is our God, with a small g, our object of ultimate concern? Don't brag that you'll never fall. That's what Peter did, didn't he? Peter said, "No, Lord, I'll never deny you." Denied the Lord three times. Trust more in Jesus' ability than your own ability to say no to Satan. Paul wrote, "So if you think you're standing firm, take heed that you not fall." We're stronger when we admit our weaknesses. As Paul said, "For when I'm weak, then I'm strong." So say no to Satan, but trust in Jesus more than you trust in your ability to say no to Satan. Because sometimes you can't, but Christ can. As Paul said, "I can do everything through Him who gives me strength." The question then becomes, what was Jesus' breaking point? At what point did He leave the will of the Father? At what point did He say yes to Satan and no to His Father? We think of the three classic temptations. Jesus was fasting and fasting and fasting. And Satan said, "Hey, here's some stones. Make bread out of them, Jesus. Feed your hunger. You can do it. You're the Almighty Son of God. You can turn these stones to bread." Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Satan said, "Hey, Jesus, you're the Son of God. God's going to take care of you. Throw yourself off from the pinnacle of the temple. Watch the angels come and what? And get you and grab you, so you don't hurt your foot. You shall not test the Lord your God," Jesus said. Satan took him to see all the kingdoms of the world. "So Jesus, you want people to like you, do you? You want them to follow you? I'll make you the political king of every nation. All you got to do is worship me. Worship the Lord your God and serve Him only," Jesus said. Each time Jesus answered Satan with Scripture. Because Jesus was not going to allow Satan to get him to a breaking point. He was human. He could have sinned, but he couldn't, because it was God's mission for him to die for my sins. And then you think of the cross. Could that be the breaking point? At which point Jesus was said, "I've had enough." Would Jesus say, "I've had enough," when the nails pierced his hands and feet? Would he say, "I've had enough," when the crowds jeered him? Would he say, "I've had enough," when the thief on the cross said, "Save yourself and us if you're the Son of God"? Jesus went to the cross saying, "Thy will be done." Jesus desired his Father's will more than being freed from the nails of the cross. And you and I are eternally grateful that our Lord made that choice. Amen? Jesus would not allow Satan to bring him to that breaking point. He refused the temptations of Satan. And there are times when being a Christ follower is not easy. Amen? There's times it's difficult. And the rich young ruler reached his breaking point. When Jesus said, "You've got to choose me or your wealth," he said, "I'm out of here, Jesus. I'm leaving." He made his choice. The question becomes, what do I value more than Jesus Christ? It's been said he must be Lord of all or he is not Lord at all. He must play first place in our life or he has no place in our life. The one position Jesus refuses to play to any man is second fiddle. He is Lord of all. The question is, what's breaking point of my faith in Jesus? What's causing me to say no to him? What's causing me to turn away sadly and have nothing else to do with him? Jesus wants to be Lord of your life. He wants to be the King of kings and the Lord of lords of your heart and your life. You've got to say yes to him and no to Satan. Satan tells you every excuse in the book. Jesus says, "I've loved you and I've died for you and I want you to be mine." But you make the choice. This morning, if you've not made a choice to own Jesus as Lord and Savior, be baptized into him for the forgiveness of your sins, we want you to do that today. If you're ready to receive Jesus and become a Christian, don't let Satan talk you out of it. Let Jesus talk you into it. Into his arms, into his grace, into his blood, into the waters of baptism, into the life of a Christian. No, it will not mean life will be perfect. It does not mean life is going to be easy. But it does mean that life has hope and purpose and peace and eternity is yours. The question is, what is your breaking point? To say no to Satan and say yes to Jesus. I hope it's this morning. Won't you answer his call? Let's stand together and let's sing.